Well, it's nice to meet you guys. So thanks so much for the time. So fellas, you know, Billy and I have listened to this album. We're getting a kick out of it. We're enjoying it. So why has nobody else thought about putting reggae and hip hop and rock and roll and all stuff? Like, how did you guys figure this out? Like, because it works.
Oh, thanks, man. You know, I think there's, you know, there's a little bit of that happening right now. And I think it's been there, you know, but I, you know, we're just doing us, you know, and it just so happens that this is just where I come from, where he comes from, and kind of just the natural occurrence of how this has happened. It's, you know, we wanted
blending our worlds.
Yeah, yeah, really, you know, bringing our worlds together. You know, I didn't know of much of Troy's, you know, career prior to meeting Troy, which was really neat. And he didn't know about me at all. And so, you know, we come from two different, complete different, you know, genres of music and eras of time. And so
old dinosaur,
young dinosaur.
And so, you know, there is some of that still happening. You know, there's just, we're just music people, as Troy always says, we just like to make good music, man. And so, it just has kind of found itself happening this way and blending our worlds together to create something unique. And it's just been such a fun process, of making this whole album. So we're just grateful to be able to do what we love and make good music with a good purpose, man.
That's great. You know, what I found most interesting is I did my first internship on the island of St. Martin. It was all reggae and zouk music, what they call it down there. But what I'm noticing and what I really like about your snare drum is it's almost like a modern metal snare drum. It's not that typical, you know, like the with the resonant, the little piccolo that you usually find in reggae, you know? So I was listening to it and it just put a smile on my face, you know?
Check this out. Hang on.
All right, we're gonna get a.
What I did is on the intro of that song, where the big snares are, the flams.
Yeah,
I've got a couple. I've got like this popcorn snare drum, and it's called Creative Percussion. Makes this all this crazy cool stuff that I've incorporated into some of the records. So this thing's got like a gate, a built-in gate on it. I mean, you know,
sure,
it's rattling a little bit. But I have a popcorn snare drum, which I think it's in the back of your car.
It is.
And it's got popcorn in it. It's a little
popcorn kernel.
You know, like a 2-inch by 8-inch drum. Kernels in it. You hit that sucker, man, and it sounds killer.
That's so awesome.
And then we have Steve Marcantonio.
Sure.
Are you familiar with Steve?
Yeah, he's my favorite Italian guy here in town. He always got
so he
heard by the best sausage.
he mixed it. So with that being said, you know, it's a bigger sound, you know, like you said, than we're used to. And when I heard it come back, I was like, man, it just sounds like modern radio, because we have an organic mix on the, which we just signed off yesterday for the video. We'll have to forward you the new one if you don't have it. You've seen the video?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, and it's so we have two different mixes. One's, you know, pretty organic, and the other one's pretty modern. So that's kind of where that's coming from, and I hope you like it.
Yeah, it's really cool. I enjoyed it.
So fellas, you're making me jealous. You got to go to Jamaica and hang out in Bob Marley's neck of the woods. You got to go to Memphis with the Sam Phillips stuff. So how'd you do that? Like I'm jealous. How did you manage all that?
Oh man, it's kind of just come together in such a magical way and have been a confirmation for us that we're on something, you know, we're on the right track. We're just kind of following this path. And you know, the Bob Marley thing, that came from, you know, a concert that we were at, Stephen Marley's concert at the City Winery here in Nashville, which our good buddy John Salloway gave us tickets to, and he's in the band as well. And so we were hanging out, and, you know, Squidley Cole, whose dad's a ska legend, Stranger Cole, and, you know, longtime history with the Marley camp. And he comes out front and introduced himself to Troy, and them being drummers, they kind of hit it off. And so Troy was like, man, I'm kind of working on this reggae project with my buddy Riz here. And we start chatting. He's like, Riz, why don't you rap for him? You know, do something. And
it was like this. It was like, wrist, rap, do something. Don't just stand there.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know, so I'm nervous, you know, but it was just kind of funny. So I start like freestyling and he starts beatboxing. Now we're just jiving in the room there. And he kind of, after that, we're hanging and he goes, man, you know, why don't you guys come to Jamaica? We'll take you to Bob Marley's studio. We'll make some music. Me and Troy can drum. And I'm, you know, back at Troy, hitting Troy again now, going, let's not miss this opportunity. So we took him up on that and we stayed in contact. We sent him some songs and he was really liking what we were doing. And, you know, we wanted him to do the percussion on that. So Troy's like, man, I want you to take over percussion so we can really get that organic cultural element of the music and where it comes from. We want you. I'm going to take all my percussion tracks off. We're coming to you. We don't want to fly nothing over. We want to come to Jamaica. We're taking you up on what you offered. We want the full experience and we want to really embrace the culture and pay kind of respect, really. And that's what we did.
So we have a half a dozen songs that we brought there that were finished and I had done the congas and the percussion and everything. On Don't Stop Trying, that's myself. There's Squiddly. We didn't have any authentic percussion on that one. We went for the more stuff I just showed you with the greater percussion. And but it really did, man. It just kind of, it really brought some of that culture that he's talking about and into the music. And we brought the girls in, a little bit of steel drum. And it's really great, man. I can't wait for y'all to hear the rest of the record. But yeah, it was a happy accident. You know, we were just there. And I don't know anything about the reggae world for me. So this is completely new. He's got roots. He knows that music. He could talk about all those bands and the rap stuff, too, where he comes from. And, you know, I've just been playing music and rock and roll, and that's just kind of, music is music to me. So I just knew the kick drum was going to fall into three. And, you know, so all I did when I recorded that track, quite honestly, I mean, I hadn't, you know, we can get into the brainchild of what it was all about and creating this band and the sound and all of that. But I just remember, you know, getting some drum tones and I was tired that night. And I said, man, I'll just throw one down before I go to bed, you know, and I did. And I came in the next morning, I listened to it and I go, well, it sounds fine, man. I think I'm just going to leave it. And that became the bed, you know, of what we built upon.
Nice. How hard is it? Like in the video, you've got the two drum. I know one of you is a drummer, the other one's percussion, but he's actually got like a kit, you know, he's banging on the. How hard is that to play two drummers?
Look behind us right here. Move wrist for 1 second. See back here? You can't really see it well. Normally, I've got a kickbox and it's all hand percussion stuff. And,
okay.
That's kind of what that riser will be. But in the video, that's my son. This whole project started with my son. So,
yeah, that was Troy Jr.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That damn noisy cymbal. But any rate, yeah, so for the video, we built, you know, he's playing, you know, I just call it the creative percussion kit, because all that stuff you're hearing on it's not any congas, it's just, you know, effects kind of stuff, and you probably heard that being an engineer, I'm sure. But
love it. That's cool.
So fellas, so we're recording this in early April. I know this actually is going to come out in May, so I'm guessing you're wanting to do a lot of shows out of this. Like what's your plans for summer and fall?
So the single actually releases April 12th, so we're only
weeks away.
Yeah, 10 days. What is it, you know, 10 days away, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
From that release. But as far as for shows, right now we're building up our singles and, you know, just kind of working the single game and trying to get some traction. This is our first release, you know, so we really are starting from scratch, man. We have Goose Eggs Across the Boards on all streaming platforms, which is kind of neat. You know, I've been making music for 10, 15 years, writing. Obviously, Troy's been doing this for 35 plus. And so it's not a lack of experience. It's just a new venture. And so it's like, this is going to be interesting to see, you know, how people respond, obviously, and also just for us starting a new, you know, this whole new beast to tackle is interesting, starting from ground zero. It's refreshing, but it's a lot. And so, you know, we're kind of playing it by ear to see what what shows make sense and what comes up. You know, we really want to get out there and play the music, but you know, we just want to do things that make sense and that, you know, that help the brand. And, you know, so we'll see what that looks like coming into the response and when summer comes around here.
Excellent.
But we're excited.
Yeah, well, go ahead, Troy.
I was just going to say, you know, that's all correct. It's a new world, man. Tesla started all those years ago with, you know, I mean, we had records and vinyl and CDs and all the cassettes and, you know, and today you got digital distribution and you've got a new world. So, which I'm the old dinosaur.
I'm trying to get him on TikTok.
Right. And I'm not doing it, but I'm good.
I'm just kidding.
with that being said, we are a company. We started an LLC. It's called Blessings in Love, and it's music with purpose, as we call it. The whole record, we've got a background together. I'm 30 years sober, so I'm in the schools. I haven't done anything since COVID, but and Riz has a 10-year program called MakeEmSmile.org that he's been, you know, distributing toys and presents to kids. You know, he puts shows on in Reno, Nevada, where he's from. So there's that whole history of where we come from that we kind of, you know, we're just kind of equally yoked that way. And the purpose of the music for us is much greater than the music itself.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of philanthropy going on. That's really cool.
Yeah. So that's really where our hearts are. It's what we do. It's what we like. And now we've got all this music. It's amazing because in country music, you know, here in Nashville, as you know, they rewrite that same song over and over and over again. And Riz has a way of doing that exactly the same thing with his music. And when you hear all these songs, but they're all completely new songs. It's like, it's amazing that gift. And it is, I mean, to think about what Nashville's done all these years later, we're still writing the same song.
Yeah,
you know, and that's exactly kind of what I've witnessing with Riz. We've got 30 songs on the board right there. We've got a dozen recorded, and you know, it's the messaging with the music. It's really cool.
Yeah, and I try to write that same song, you know, about just positivity, overcoming self-doubt, you know, trying to just be honest and real with my life experiences just as an artist and as a person that we deal with, no matter what form of art we are, because life is a form of art, right? Whatever it is. And we all are sharing the same exact, you know, a lot of the same, going through the same things just in different scenarios. And so I try to relay that message to a mass appeal that we can all relate to, you know, having fear and having to overcome that. And, you know, courage not coming from, you know, running from that, but more so facing those problems and taking that face on. And so, you know, that's like don't stop trying's kind of messages, overcoming and the perseverance. And then we got stuff that's more happier and give it a goes and stuff that are kind of just, it's, you know, songs with optimism and you know, kind of just encouragement. And there's some love songs. There's some other stuff. I just try to be real with who I am and where I'm at, because I understand that we're all connected in that way. We all experience these things. That's what the beauty of music is. So it's a lot of fun.
Being in Nashville, such a songwriter town, did you guys collaborate with any other songwriters here, or have you kept it kind of in-house, you know?
Kind of both. I mean, in the sense that I never had done any co-writes until I getting out here, and Troy, you know, was like, I want to get you with some people. And so right out the gate, I got with David Norris and we wrote some amazing tracks, Perfect World being one of them that you guys will hear. And it's just a phenomenal song. We got to have Steve Cropper play some guitar on that, along with Rami from the Foo Fighters on B3 and Etta Britt and a couple different amazing singers. That just, you know, the beauty of being in the land of Lucetta, as some would say, is because he's opened me up to this world of just phenomenal people, musicians, artists. And so I was able to, you know, to do that. And then also one of the co-producer on this project that we've been working on, Dave Brainerd, he did Jamie Johnson. He helped with Jared Neiman's Lover. He's done some phenomenal records out here. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he's Nashville, and
Dave very well, very well.
Okay, yeah. So he's Dave Brainerd,
like half a dozen of our songs.
Yeah, me and him have really, you know, I feel like have struck some gold on some of the writings that we've done. I mean, me and him have had a great success and just love Dave, man. You know what was cool with him is that I got to see, because he writes a lot of, with country artists, and he just knows, he's so well diversed, and I'm just so in my own world, I guess. I don't know. I just never had done that. And so we wrote together, and I started to see how they're bright. You know, I'm thinking, okay, we're just saying, let's go pick up just an example, you know, a snack from the store. And he's like, well, what is the snack? We have to paint the picture. Is it an Arizona iced tea? Is it a lemonade? What kind of lemonade? What flavor? And I started to understand a little bit behind the songwriting of country and how they storytell and how they really get as detailed as you can. And mm-hmm. where I was more broad. And so a blend of that has been fun, but the co-writing's a new thing and it's a lot of fun for sure. It opens up a door that I wouldn't necessarily open because I'm just in my own thinking. I'm just doing my own thing. So it's fun, man.
Did Dave's wife teach you how to pole dance by chance? Amy, in case you don't know, Dave's wife, she's a professional pole dancer on the side, and Dave has a pole in their house, and she teaches like kind of like aerobic, you know what I mean? So Jen. It's kind of like a
are you saying Dave Brainerd,
Jenny Coleman? Yeah,
what?
Yes, Jenny, she's an
No wonder they don't invite me upstairs.
Well, she teaches like professional classes, like classy pole dancing.
I did not know that.
Oh yeah, she's amazing.
But when you see those poles when you walk into that house, you automatically think, right? But you're like, no, there's an art to this. There's a reason for that. You know, actually getting shape on the pole. And if you think about it, I mean, how many people can stand on a pole? Up on a pole and, you know, level themselves out, you know.
It is, that's cool. I did not know that. I'm gonna have to bring that up next time. They got a beautiful baby though, man.
They do.
Yeah, I was just over there. We're doing Music Mondays over there, Riz Mondays. We're having a lot of fun over there and writing some stuff. And we try to just, as he says, we're piling up snowballs for the snowball fight, man. We're just trying to keep those snowballs piling up, and that's you never know where you're gonna need those songs or where they're gonna come into play. So we got cool stuff, man. It's a lot of fun.
So one of your...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, one of my previous guests is in your band, John Salloway. John Salloway is stupid talented, man. What can he not play? Like, that's got to be great for you guys.
You tell us, man. We haven't figured that out yet. That's yet to be discovered. John has been the backbone to helping us discover what this is, because he's really, you know, given a lot of everything. You know, he's given us his time, his efforts, his energy, his larger than life heart. And, you know, he's one of the kindest guys. And I always make a joke, you know, John will be like, well, I don't think I can make it to that session. I got a sold out show at Franklin Theater. And he's always got so much happening, but you would never know it. He's so nonchalant about it. Been around 20 plus years in this town. And John is just, you know, he brings a cool, unique sound. Obviously, he can play everything. We've kind of, since the drumming side's covered, which he's, you know, that's his main instrument. He's a drummer with his Beatles band, you know, for the Beatles brunch. He's phenomenal, but he's got a tasty flavor kind of bluesy, and he also knows, he's a big Marley fan, so he knows the music. And so me and John have a lot of fun, and he was the first person that Troy really brought in. And I think really got it too. And also me and him connected. And so it made me feel good, because, you know, I was like, okay, I'm in Nashville. I come from kind of more hip hop and doing more kind of reggae. I'm in a country town. How is this going to work? How are we going to find people that understand or that may, you know, I don't know. But John definitely made me feel like, okay, we can do this. And then naturally Michael Devin, Peter Keys, that also have some knowledge within it. I think really the ones that are probably the farthest just not knowing of would be Troy and Sterto, just because they've been so rock. But John Salloway, that's the secret weapon, man.
Yeah, that's what I call him. It started, you know, John called me, I don't know, we met, and then he asked me if I would do his record release party. And then I got familiar with his music and I instantly became a fan. I just loved his music. So we've started doing a lot more things together. I'll bring a little percussion kit, I'll bring full kit, whatever, was required. And I just fell in love with him and his music. And so I at my age today, old dinosaur, for me, it's about people I want to hang with, you know, and people that are great and have something to bring to the table that have that same interest. And it was just something that kind of happened very organically. Same thing with David Brainerd. You know, I knew him through a friend of mine, and he came over and we hung, and then I had breakfast, and I said, hey, I'm working with this guy, Riz, and here's our music. Maybe you could come over and do a co-write. And I just watched it happen, you know, and all of this has just happened. And I was out with the Guess Who for 35 shows this last year. And that's when I met Michael Sterto, and he was in Lou Gramm's band for 10 years. And I knew a little bit about Michael and fell in love with him, the bass player, Michael Devon. He was in Whitesnake when we were out with Whitesnake. And he spent 2 years with Jason Bonham, 10 years with, and then he went to the Dead Daisies, and I've always loved his playing and what he brought, and we were working together. So it gave me a chance to kind of personalities and people and travel. And I'd already been on the road with those guys, so I knew what that felt like. And I just simply suggested to Riz, I said, man, I got this idea, you know, I says, but a bunch of old dinosaurs, man. I don't know if you want to go that route or not, but maybe we could try this thing out. And we started pounding through the tracks. I do everything here at I got a studio at the house, do it all here. And then, you know, as we were making progress, we brought in Smith Curry, who you know of, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and Smith came in and killed everything and we did about 7 songs. And out of that session was beautiful. And it's so, like I told Riz when we got here, I said, the thing about Nashville, Riz, we can get your record done by next week. I says, these guys will blow your mind. They're so good. And I says, they're that good. They will come in and you will be sold on everything and you will absolutely love it and be good. I said, but for me, I don't know if it would be, you know, exactly what we're looking for in terms mm-hmm. of what a bigger picture of trying to find something a little unique and different. Maybe we need to step out of that box. And so being with Smith, that was a exact point. I mean, he freaking came in and he's so great. And then, you know, we were listening back to everything and it brought a different flavor to it, which was in some areas, it was fantastic. And then I thought, well, let's mute everything. And we had this song called, he was talking about Give It a Go. And we jam, we're like a jam band too. You'll hear that on the record. We got jams that go for 8 minutes, 7 minutes, more than just one song. And this one particular song had a whole free verb vibe to it, you know? And I said, man, oh, Peter had just called me, you know, we were talking about doing something else. I go, man, he would be perfect on this. Maybe we can get Peter Keys on this thing. And that's kind of how it opened that door. And then I had him playing on this stuff and I realized he was the glue, man. He was the last piece of the puzzle that really brought the whole, really focused the project. And so unfortunately we didn't use any of the lap steel and the pedal steel and all the great stuff that was played. And we just chose to go for a different instrument and find the voice. And that's all that happened, you know? And now we feel complete, you know, with what that is. And having Brainerd available, he plays, as you know, everything and brings a lot to the table. So,
And dances on poles.
Yeah, not bad to have to settle for Peter Keys, you know, man. Oh my gosh. He's a legend, you know, and for what he brings to that project. I mean, we were up at 2 a.m, you know,
last night,
yeah, like listening, because we create and we'll step back and it's just kind of weird how that works. And there's just like this undeniable, like just like organic, like old school, cool, like really authentic sound that Peter brings when you really listen to those keys. It's like you don't teach that stuff. Just like when we went out to Jamaica with Squiddly Cole, you don't teach them how to play those kind of drums and how to get that feel. It's like you got to live that life, you know, and Peter does. You can tell. I mean, I know he spent all that time with P-Funk, so he understands that funkiness and like how he brings the clav and the B3, but like, oh my God, I was just sitting there listening, like, this is so cool. Like, I feel like my parents, I haven't even got to really, I've been careful, like showing, not like I'm not going to show my parents, but like, honestly, of trying to just, I want to just keep it going and maintain before I get too many, anybody's opinion, you know, it's like, let's just create. And then when it's out, we can talk about how we feel, because, you know, trying to keep it in, you know, and just like listening with Troy last night, I was just like, my dad's going to love this. My mom, my parents are going to love this and be like, this is your music, you know, like, wow. And that's what's cool for me with this project, man. It's like trying to bridge this gap between, like, you know, just the different generations and the different eras and kind of, you know, music and still has that positive message. So it's like, you know, talking with, you know, Missy, who's helping us out. We're like, we kind of want to be that sound that it's like, I love Jack Johnson, you know, and it's where it's like, you know, the parents are like, oh, that new stuff is crap music. That ain't real. And, you know, the kids are going, I don't want to listen to, you know, Bon Jovi. And, you know, where do you find the medium? And where's that middle ground where it's like, it's cool enough, but it's also organic and it has some roots to it. So maybe we'll fit into that. I don't know, but you know, that would be really cool.
I think we're going to, I think it's just going to find its place. And I already know there will be a fan base. It'll be built one at a time and we'll be fine. You know, and that's all we're going to get out there. We did go to Florida. So what we did, because we don't have all the believers available, we went out, just John Salloway and myself. I don't know if you've seen anything online, but you can find stuff with us planned as a three-piece.
Okay.
We'll do a half a dozen songs, and we found a way to just
loop,
be creative, and he's loop pedal and do, and but the songs sell themselves. We don't need any of the production. And I don't know if you've caught the Jamaica thing, Billy. Did you catch that?
Mm-mm.
Oh, yeah, it's live. It's
Risen Believers, YouTube. You'll see us live in Tuff Gong with Squidly Cole and Troy on congas, John on guitar, and me singing.
Yeah, one acoustic, one vocal, the same song, Don't Stop Trying.
Yeah, I'll check that out.
And they're equally, in my opinion, great. Either way, you could take it either way you want it. But the songs there, everything's there, you know, just stripped down. So we found a way to get out. And, hey, man, maybe we don't have the full band here. But, again, coming back to that question of touring, I think we're going to find some things out really soon because the single's coming out.
Right.
And we got to get out and play. So, and we will be.
You know, I want to say real quick, first of all, you guys – it's just so evident how much fun you guys are having. I mean, this interview just solidifies that. But you kind of tapped, you know, jazz guys have played, different generation of jazz guys have played together forever. You know, I saw Lee Ritenour, his son's playing drums, you know, Hadrian Farrard is playing bass and stuff. So it's cool that you guys, why not tap into different generations? Because everybody has something to bring to the table, right?
Amen.
Yeah, it's like why box? The last thing we want to do is box ourselves into anything. You know, we want to just create an open, you know, open realm and palette for us to just be artists and everybody. That's why I love Troy, is because he's kind of really broken me out of my comfort zone in my shell and brought these. I mean, honestly, for some of these, this record has been an experience for me. It's like just stretching me to lengths of that I was just so uncomfortable at times, not even aware, sure if I liked what we were doing, you know, going, I don't even know if I feel this is cool or if this sounds right to me, you know, I don't know. And Troy just really having to have some talks with me and just saying, man, like, we have what you brought to me. We have your songs from where you started, and we can always go back if you want. But if you allow me, if you trust me, and just let me do my thing as the producer on this and let me go places, you know, let me get my part of done and then we can talk and then we can go back and we can change anything you want. You got final say, but let me be my creative. And then also now through him doing that, when he records, when we have Michael Sterto come in, he's like, sometimes he'll invite Michael over for a session and all of a sudden he's, you got Jack Campitelli running the session and he's like, all right, gives him a rough direction and he'll walk out. And Mike's like, well, what do you want? He's like, I want you. You put you into that song. How would Michael Sterto want to record this? I don't want to tell you how to record. I know what I'm thinking, but I'm not you and I want you in there. Same with all these people. It's like, we just kind of let it jam. Troy will have people jam it out. They leave. and then he does his thing, and then we can
do a lot of editing sometimes.
Sometimes
it's been, but it's a lot of the sound that has developed through. I'm going to go back to John Salloway because he'll jam, and I call him noodles. You know, he'll just noodle through it. But it's
been guitar players, man. We just
never
stop.
But if you know what, it would never be accepted in with what Billy's doing in recording country music. You can't do that. Not in the way we do what we do, but I allow it, and I you know, I welcome it, and I want that. That's like, just jam. I don't care what you play. Let me figure it out when you leave, you know, and we'll sort through it and then come back and revisit it if we need to. But that's how a lot of the music has been created, with the Believers, you know.
Yeah.
The stuff with Brainerd that you'll hear, I Believe, where it's all him, and then we bring the Believers in, throw us on top and finish it out. I mean, put it quite honestly, like Riz said, I mean, I'm listening to a song called I Believe that you'll hear, and I'm like, it needs absolutely nothing. It's brilliant. Frickin' Brainerd's that good. He's got it all covered. It's done. And you could just go, Riz could have easily said, I don't want anything on it. But I said, well, give me a shot at this thing. Let me, I got some ideas. And he always has it's his record, whatever he wants. But we get to this place of that experimental thing that breeds this freaking
magic,
beautiful magic that comes out of it. And it's happened just by letting people be who they are, you know, mm-hmm. and not getting in the way of that, you know.
That's great. Hey, I have a question, or I got two questions for both of you that I always like to ask. Riz, who's your favorite singer?
All time favorite singer. I'm going to have to go Bob Seger.
Nice. Troy, I'm going to ask, favorite drummer.
If I had to narrow it down, and because of that, I'm going to go with Steve Gadd.
Nice.
Yeah. He's my all time go-to as far as thinking about what he brings. Cause I mean, I'm a Tesla, my role. You had at the time it was John Bonham and Jeff Porcaro, and I thought, I'm going to go right down the middle of that road. That's who I am. That's who I'm going to be. And I actually kind of hit right in there, and it worked. It's like, okay, I got some groove. I got some pocket. I got some playing. I've never was a soloist. But then, you know, with Gadd, you know, he's got all of that, you know, and I've had to really talk about stretching and listening and grooving and playing, you know, his music. And I'm a big David Garibaldi fan, you know, Tower of Power. And I'm a Mark Craney from Brother to Brother, Gino Vannelli. I mean, that's the area I come from. Those are cats, all the Motown stuff. I was never into 80s rock. Matter of fact, I don't have really anything to do with it. I was into 70s and 60s, and, you know, that's why I'm the old dinosaur, right? So, but I went back to all that 80s music just in the last few years, quite honestly. You know, I mean, back in the day, you know, I mean, Tommy Lee, who I think is amazing, love what he does, love Lars Ulrich, love these guys that are those one-trick ponies that do that thing so amazingly well. Tommy Aldridge, you know. And then, you know, and then the next thing you know, I mean, and I was never trying to fit in a world. I was just trying to find myself in the music, and I just wanted to play music. I mean, what you don't know is I played on Keith Emerson's last record recording with the 70-piece orchestra in Germany. I recorded the last Doris Day record with Doris. You know, I mean, I've done R&B record with Frida Payne. You know, I've done some things that I'm really proud of that I could. And you will never hear me in some of that music, maybe some of the Emerson stuff. But those are, I wanted to be a good rounded player. I never wanted to be just one guy and stuck in that box. But, you know, Gadd, coming back to the question and who he is to me, he's the epitome of all of that. And you know, I'm that one grain of sand on his big giant beach. You know what I'm saying? Really, truly. And I still aspire to be two grains of sand, you know. So I get up, I play, I got a practice pad, I work, I got books, I got a piano over here, taking piano lessons. And right now, still to this day, right here now, I mean, I was up this yesterday morning, I didn't do it this morning, but, you know, going through the piano stuff, you know, and just trying to educate myself and learn more about what it is I do. I have, by the way, Bob Marley, 1976 or seven, Live at the Rainbow. Oh my God. Knew nothing about that music. Talk about being humbled and learning and just, that's my go-to right now. I mean, I'm just constantly listening and learning and trying to become part of, because I didn't know. And that's what's the beauty about what we've created. We did not know.
Yeah.
I want to dig in a little bit and find out what the heck it is I'm doing.
That's so great. All right. Here's my second question. This will be the best question anybody's asked you, probably in the history of podcasts.
I love it.
Favorite hot chicken place in Nashville.
Favorite hot chicken place in Nashville. You know what is so funny is I've been here for 2 years and I've yet to have a hot chicken sandwich.
No.
No joke. Not lying to you. I have not had a hot chicken, and this man does not like hot food either. So I don't know your answer, but I can tell you I have not had a hot chicken in Nashville.
All right, Billy. All right, guys.
I'm sorry.
I think it's the best question because neither one of us can answer.
Yeah.
So
sorry, bro.
That's all right.
But I'll tell you what. When we get together, you're here in Nashville. I'll give you my number. We'll hang. Come
all
by.
Right.
And if you take us to a place, but I'll do the miles.
You'll do the miles. Yes.
Same. Yeah. Same.
Perfect. You can do medium. Medium.
We'll all right. I'll do medium.
I feel like you guys got to come to Kansas City, though, then have barbecue, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I drove through Kansas City. Yeah. That was
Gates barbecue.
You Gates guy?
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, you probably might have something different, right?
Kansas City Joe's is like, you know, when Anthony Bourdain came here, that's where he went and all, you know, okay. So, but there's it's like, you know, you can't drive two blocks and not run into a barbecue place in this town. It's everywhere.
There's a famous place that was a gas station out there.
That's Kansas City Joe's. It used to be called Oklahoma. It used to be Oklahoma Joe's. And then they thought we shouldn't, you know, promote Oklahoma for whatever reason. So it's like, we're actually Kansas City Joe's. So yeah, that's the one in the gas station. That's right where I used to live. My first apartment here.
I remember driving when I drove from, I flew out here when Troy called me 2 years ago. He said, "You ready to finish what we started?" I booked a one-way ticket. I came out here for a couple of weeks, flew back home, packed up my car, and I drove across the country. And I remember when I drove across, that was the place I stopped at. And I was like by myself. And it was kind of a cool confirmation because here I am, you know, already kind of emotional, right? I packed up, moving, leaving the family. I'm going to chase my dreams in Nashville. I stop at this famous barbecue place, Kansas City Joe's. Got my dad a pack of their seasoning and barbecue sauce, which is phenomenal. I'm going to order that online. And as I'm leaving, I hear, "Yo, Riz." And I'm thinking, no, you know, there's no way. And I go to walk out and he's like, "Riz." And I turn and somebody's there. And he was like, "What's up, man? What are you doing?" And somebody from back hometown that knew of me from, you know, a videographer that worked on one of my music videos was like, "Man, I recognized you. I knew that was you. How you doing, brother?" And I was just like, here I am all the way, you know, away from home. And, you know, it's kind of like that. It was one of the last stops before I got to Nashville. And I was like, I'm on the right track. Let's keep going, you know. So I got to go back to Kansas City Joe's, man.
You guys are always welcome, man. I mean, I don't have my wife doesn't have a stripper pole or anything, but we'd still have a
Dave, I'm sorry, Dave. We love you. You too, Jenny. We did not. No, this is not on us.
Blame it on Billy.
Yeah, blame it on Billy, right, man.
Oh, yeah. I'm on to Kansas City. Kansas City, here I come. train, but if I have to walk